Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey kids, are you ready for Christmas? Yeah! I can't hear you. I said, are you ready for Christmas? Yeah! Well, here we go.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Okay, but have you considered the possibility, before you pick the ice cream you want to buy, it's smart to like try all the different flavors, you know, from chocolate to vanilla to... I'm trying to think of a yellow ice cream flavor, like banana custard. My point is, Asian girls.
You don't even ask questions.
We hang out like friends, like the friends from that program Friends.
And now.
Yeah, when I talk to it, it says you have to speak in American English.
Yeah.
What other kind of English is there? Is there British?
Our feature presentation.
Welcome into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show. This time, it's a Monday, and it feels like one, the 10th of December. Hello, children.
Hello, Bean.
Guys, remember the Kevin days?
I do. What's he up to?
He's a good man.
He was.
I think he retired. I think he retired after this weekend.
Oh, I'm just hearing word he's just running late because he's a little sleepy from acoustic.
Please note I went to retired and not dead for a change, though.
That was very nice of you. Yeah.
How'd that alarm feel after two nights of the K-Rock Absolute Almost Christmas?
Oh, that was my first.
Yeah.
And boy, oh boy, they have some... ideas about how late we should be out working,
right.
But yet also up at 4 a.m.
Right.
So,
yes.
Yeah, someone should clue them in.
Just so you know,
yeah.
You will see none of those people today.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, they take the day off.
Ghost town.
Yeah.
Ghost
yeah.
town. Yeah, you
Amazing.
Can skateboard down the halls today if you want, Judson.
Ooh.
And you should.
Ooh.
But, and I'm happy to say, another phenomenally successful and wonderful two nights of music.
Yeah,
agree.
Well, what they're able to pull off is extraordinary.
It
Absolutely.
Is. Yeah. It's extraordinary. And I get really bummed out sometimes. Look.
Here we go.
Rock is, it's certainly not dying. Rock will always exist, but it's on the outer fringes of pop culture right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's very little making much impact anymore. But you go to a show like the ones that we had this weekend, and you go, hey, you know what? The fire's still burning.
Yeah.
You know, you still see up-and-coming bands that
That's
are
right.
still rock. I mean, you know, obviously Greta Van Fleet is, you know, is kind of in the poster children for that this past year in terms of bringing back a kind of rock that most people haven't been playing for a long time. But, I mean, even, you know, some of these other new bands like, you know, like Young the Giant rocked. Mm-hmm. The Interrupters rocked. I mean, there were people out there who were doing it the way it's always been done. And it's nice that there's still an audience for that, I guess, is what I'm saying.
And I was pleasantly surprised by Bastille, who I thought put on a great show.
Yeah.
And also shows more rock roots and influence than I thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so we're hanging on there. I mean, I've said this in the past before. I would be stunned if K-Rock exists in 10 years, and I know that sounds fatalistic, but I feel like we're going to be further marginalized because of the kind of music we like. Mm-hmm. But we're hanging on. We're hanging on by our fingernails, man.
Yes.
And,
that's something.
Hold on, I'll be right back.
Monday.
I'm gonna go check my contract. I'll be right back.
What I'm saying is there's a reason to be optimistic.
Yeah.
When you see a weekend like this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That's what
I'm
saying.
Awesome. And last night was a really young crowd. Like, it was fun night. The night before was older because Smashing Pumpkins were the headliners.
Right.
Still cool, don't get me wrong. But Sunday night, seeing such like a youthful crowd did bring me some hope as to what's going on.
Yeah. Definitely felt a younger vibe and saw. Like, teenage girls. I was like, oh, look at you all here for Billie Eilish.
Yeah. Thank you, Billie Eilish, by the way.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll be talking throughout the day, obviously, more, and we'll probably include some of your phone calls as well about Acoustic Christmas. But thank you to everybody who bought tickets. Thank you to everybody who showed up, supported those great local charities. And thanks to all the hardworking people with all the labels and bands and people who work here at K-Rock that just put on another tremendous show. We're very proud of it, and it was awesome. So moving on, though. Last week, I want to say, we had that story about Little Ab City and the shame that she was subjected to.
By her mother for naming her Ab City.
By a gate agent for Southwest who laughed at her name and then took a picture of her boarding pass and put it up online. And people, Ab City, if you weren't listening, her name is ABCDE. That's how it's spelled. And it turned out to be a much more common name than we knew. There are hundreds of people in America named Ab City.
So upsetting.
This one is going to make you forget about Ab City.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
This is an unnamed woman. This was a Facebook post that has been shared on Reddit, but her name is left out. I have a,
her name is left out?
No.
That is weird.
What's her last name?
Her name is not included in the post.
Oh.
This is a baby shower, I guess, that she has canceled. I have a really important announcement to make. It brings me pain to have to tell you this, but I am canceling the event.
Oh, no.
I will text you soon if you're invited to my smaller, more inclusive party. At least here, no one will judge me. Why am I doing this? Because y'all have been talking S about my unborn baby, an unborn child. Hmm. How can you judge an unborn child? What is wrong with you? To say this frankly, my friends and family have treated me like total S. They've spread rumors and lies about my child. No, I am not crazy. No, I am not mentally unstable. No, I was not drunk when I named my child.
Oh, wow. Also, really setting up quite a reveal. Is this Stephen King?
Right.
I'm at the edge of my seat. Go on.
His name is Squire Sebastian Senator.
Squire Sebastian Senator.
Is Senator their last name?
I don't think so. I believe we'll find out that that's all his first name.
Okay.
Squire
okay.
Sebastian Senator.
Right.
Okay.
That is that. You cannot force me to change his name. This is the name I was meant to give him. No, this is not his full name. Squire Sebastian Senator is only his first name. And here's my favorite part of the whole post. This is how it will be. He will not be allowed to have a nickname. He is to be called by his full and complete first name.
Is this woman?
So you can't just call him, hey, Squire?
Or just
Oh, three S's?
Yeah.
Like a
snake. You have to say, hey, Squire Sebastian Senator, come over here. I never knew my family could be so judgmental. We come from a long-lasting family of both squires and senators. If you look back on our family tree, the survival of this clan is literally rooted in squiredom. Now, forgive me, but squire, is that some sort of British aristocracy or something?
Yeah, it's like the head of an estate in like a more rural area.
Okay. We are all related to senators, too. This name conveys power. It conveys wealth. It conveys success. By the way, this is turning into a Stephen King book. Can you believe how long this is?
Yeah.
My baby's name will be a revolution. Another one of my favorite lines. It will push people to question everything.
What is going on?
Oh my God.
Why name your baby boring and overused names like Joshua, Brian, Sam, Nick, Mark, Bella, Marina, etc. when you can name it something special? Squire Sebastian Senator will live a powerful, wholesome life.
I hope all those names were like her nephews and nieces' names.
Yes, I hope so too. By the way, Squire Sebastian Senator is going to crawl away from you as soon as he's able. His confidence will not diminish simply because his name is out of the ordinary. Instead, it will be extraordinary. F you all, my fake-ass family. You won't get to be part of my baby's life, and it's all because you had to judge him. I need a follow-up on this.
Oh, yeah.
I need to know more about this kid, about this mom, about this party, about the reaction from friends and family.
Yeah. Right before K-Rock goes off the air in 10 years, I'd like to check back in on the mm-hmm. 9-year-old
yeah.
Squire yes. Sebastian Senator
right.
and figure out how much therapy he's in.
Right. He's already been emancipated at that point. Yeah. He's living alone in That's a condo. True.
Yeah. Listen, I'm all for naming babies weird names. Mm-hmm. I as a Jensen myself, my mm-hmm. mother is a Haroldine, which I can't even understand being a first name.
Haroldine?
I've never heard that.
H-A-R-O-L-D-I-N-E.
Like Geraldine, but with
yes,
an H.
Yes, but with an H.
I've never heard of that either.
Yeah, wow. It's a very odd name. I'm all for it, but making it a lengthy novel of a yeah. name, of a first yeah. name, is crazy.
A bit that, much.
That's the story here. Yeah. It's not that it's Squire or Senator. Those are all stupid names, but fine, leave them alone.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But to have that be your whole first name, yeah. that's beyond a Cosby kid. You know what I mean?
And don't you think after the first time that kid gets in trouble and she's yelling his full name, she's yeah. going to be like, that's a lot.
I'm tired.
Yeah.
I wonder what his middle name or names are.
I like to think of the last name's Johnson. Just like a very yeah. normal, yeah, ready sure. last name.
Well, I'm going to keep my eyes peeled on that. I've got a Google alert set up for Squire Sebastian Senator, so we'll find out what happens next. But is that insane? Does that make Ab City just seem like the most normal little kid in the world?
Yeah. I what do you even set up for in life if you have that as a first name? Like, what could you do with it? I mean, you have to change it.
Yeah,
you have to be like, my mother was an animal. She's yeah.
right. You go by
person.
Sebastian yeah. for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah, yeah.
Or Tom.
Or Tom.
Yeah. Just call me Tom. All right, let's talk about today's all new Kevin Beach show, shall we?
My life is all about owning the libs now.
Well, I can't help you with that, sir. The worst Christmas song of all time, I think we all agree, is 12 Days of Christmas.
Yes.
It has just gotten worse. I know you think that song has pretty much set in stone.
Did they add to it?
Yes.
No.
Yes. Mm. Now it's more than 12 Days of Christmas. Wait till you hear what they've done to it. Mm. We continue our end of the year recap with top 10s. Today, I'm very excited about the top 10 Omar intros. He's our resident genius in the other room.
Who puts
together the little jingles that we play on the show.
He's brilliant. You can walk in there and just go, hey, I need... and you walk out and you come in here and it's exactly what you hum to him.
He's amazing.
Very odd.
Also, the very talented actor and director Ben Stiller joins us next hour here on the Kevin DeMean Show. He's behind that Showtime Escape mm-hmm. at Dannemora that is getting all the raves. Ben is had him on the show for years and years and years. It'll be great to catch up with him again. Monday means great news on the program today. Jensen, you have been talking about Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse for weeks now.
Yes, I'm very excited.
Finally coming out on Friday, one of those Spider-Mans, he plays the voice of Peter Parker, Jake Johnson.
Right.
Also from New Girl, is going to be joining us in the 7 o'clock hour today. Andrew Siciliano recaps NFL Week 14.
What a week.
What a week.
Wow.
Chip, you picked the wrong year to not be a Dolphins fan anymore.
Yeah, I'm still not following football, but that 14 seconds warmed my cold, dead Dolphin fan heart.
Yeah. I bet you did. Allie, you picked the right year to not be a Patriots fan anymore.
I loved how many people came up to me with joy to say, wow, can't believe it. I'm like, I haven't watched this year. Yeah. And watching their soul leave their body was the greatest.
Well, you deprived them of a sick bird.
I know.
Also, hangover cures on the program today. There's a lot of good information and misinformation out there about what's going to work. But, after this Christmas weekend, we could use some of these hangover cures. And the nicest guy in rock and roll, Travis Barker, back Yay. In studio Yay. This morning on the Kevin DeMean Show. He'll be revealing the details of the Musinc Festival. That's a lot of show, you guys.
It's
yeah.
a lot.
Yeah.
It's all coming up next. Plus, Allie's got What's Happening right after this on K-Rock.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Monday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show, Allie McKay coming in hot with What's Happening and with free stuff.
I would like to give a pair of tickets away to see George Lopez, The Wall Tour at Yay! Microsoft Theater. It's happening December 29th. If you would like to go, just be callers 5, 6, and 7 right now at 1-800-520-1067, and you are going to get a pair of tickets to see George Lopez, The Wall, at the Microsoft Theater, December 29th. Tickets on sale at AXS.com.
Bong, bong.
Bong, bong, indeed. Well, while we were very busy, I guess some people went to see movies. Although, sleepy box office this weekend because no new releases. But Disney's Ralph breaks the internet. It led another weekend, bringing their total to $140.9 million. Not bad. Not bad at all.
That's a success.
It is a success. Also a success, Universal's Dr. Seuss the Grinch nabbed $15.2 million in its fifth weekend out. That's a total of $223.5 million.
That is strong.
That's real strong.
Yeah.
And yes. It still has at least two more weeks to go where people are going to be going to see that.
Right. And once the kids are off on Christmas break, mm-hmm. I'm sure those numbers skyrocket again.
That's so, amazing how profitable that is.
Do you guys think the Grinch is Jewish? I thought about that a lot this
interesting.
Weekend.
Interesting.
In you other did? Words, that's I why did. He hates Christmas so much?
Yes. Huh. Is that ever addressed?
I don't think so either.
I think he just hates joy. I don't think it's as specific as he just hates Christmas.
I usually like to know if there's other famous Jews.
And I understand.
Looking into it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's real weird. All right. Creed 2 came in at number 3 with $10.3 million, followed by Fantastic Beasts, Crimes of Grindelwald, and Bohemian Rhapsody, rounding out the top 5 for you. So, yesterday, Netflix shared a new teaser for Stranger Things 3, and they shared some episode titles. Susie Giacoppi, The Mall Rats, The Case of the Missing Lifeguard, The Sauna Test, The Source, The Birthday, The Bite, and the Battle of Starcourt. What?
That's a puzzle.
Yeah, what does it all mean?
The Case of the Missing Lifeguard sounds like an Auntie Drew book.
It really does. It really does. I was such a fan of Stranger Things. And then Stranger Things 2 came out, and I was like, I'll get to it.
Too much TV.
It's too much TV, Jensen. I think that just proves your point. I mean, I love Stranger Things.
Sure, it's great, but there's too much TV.
Yeah. Any of you watch Stranger Things 2?
I didn't watch two, no.
I watched the first one.
Same.
First season.
Yeah,
but then you
same.
Move on, you're watching other stuff. When the second one comes back and you go, I'll get to it, and then you don't, and
ain't nobody got time for that.
Oh, I agree with that lady. I agree with her right there. I love that this article is titled, Tom Cruise Shooting Intense Scenes in Lake Tahoe. And then it just says, well, he's actually just shooting the Top Gun sequel, and he's running through a forest and up mountains. But it's very intense, you guys.
The Top Gun sequel has him running through forests?
He's running through a forest and up a mountain. So what happens? What happens, you guys?
Oh,
Kevin Ryder walking into the studio.
Look at this.
Wow.
Hey, Kev Dog.
How are you?
How'd that alarm go this morning?
The alarm that I didn't set.
Also, bike was off.
That one.
You missed a really important story about Stranger Things 3. So
okay,
yeah, it's just we heard all the titles.
Yeah, it's good times.
Okay.
You didn't.
Is the Grinch Jewish?
Oh, that's so weird. You had the same thoughts.
Right. Thinking about that all weekend.
Were you?
Yeah.
So you just didn't set the alarm?
I did not set my alarm.
Oh, man.
Mm. Woke up at 5:22 and I was like, wait a minute, it's 5:22 in the afternoon. Am I good?
Yeah, what day is it?
It's Monday morning and I usually leave by 5 or I'm late. So sorry.
Well, we're happy you're here.
Thanks.
Yes.
Would you like to tell us about your experience with Acoustic Christmas? We did that little recap. I'd like to hear your
experience.
I know,
but I'd like to tell you about a new name of a kid.
Okay.
That is ridiculous.
I want you to see if you remember it.
I'm happy you were late enough to listen. That is good.
That is odd to listen to the beginning of the show that you're supposed to be on.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little strange.
What do you think about Squire Sebastian Senator?
Love it.
You love the name?
Couldn't love it more. And I love the fact that she flat canceled the baby shower because she was getting so much crap for it.
I love that Kevin listened.
It's very sweet.
It's really entertaining, sweet. You guys.
You sound like a Power 106 guy to me.
Yeah, usually. I flip around, Bean. Okay.
I like it. Hey, you guys want some birthdays?
Already?
How about Meg White from the White Stripes?
Meg White, the most mysterious woman in rock.
Yes. Mm-hmm. How about Raven Simone?
Huh? Oh.
That's so Raven.
The Raven.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The View.
Quotes the Raven. Isn't that from her?
I don't think that's her.
Yeah,
no.
It was about her.
Right. The Cosby Show.
In that dude's house.
No, none of that.
Oh.
Empire. I mean, she gets around.
She's doing all right.
Raven's not that way. She's been on TV her whole life. And Kenneth Branagh. That's cool. God.
The coolest.
That's what's happening.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Christmas music is pretty subjective, mm-hmm. you guys. I read a a very, very long article in the Washington Post this weekend where a woman took it upon herself to rank 100 Christmas songs from 100 to number one.
Wow.
How did you not do that, Bean?
She put The Good King Wenceslas as the best Christmas song of all time.
What?
How does that go?
I don't even know what that is.
Good King Wenceslas looked out on the Feast of Stephen.
That's the one, yes.
And the snow lay round about. Deep and crisp and even.
That's what, Kevin, you may remember it from the one that we had William Shatner record for Kevin Bean Christmas album years ago.
Not
remember
even
he
bit.
came in with a guitar player and they laid it down? I mean, it's a good song, but like I said, it's very subjective. We can all agree that the worst Christmas song of all time is, well, it's either that one about that goddamn kid who wants to get shoes in case Mama meets Jesus that night.
No, I love that one.
Or it's the 12 Days of Christmas, because it could not be more boring and more repetitive.
Well, the thing about the 12 Days of Christmas, though, is that it starts out, everyone's sort of on board because it's Christmas time, and mm-hmm. let's sing a Christmas song, and you get 30 seconds in, and you realize, oh my God, I'm stuck for hours.
Yeah, that's right. Because for folks who aren't familiar with the song, here's how it begins.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a partridge in a pear tree. On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me two turtle doves and a
Okay, number one, you're doing it no favors with that right? Muppet version you're playing.
Yeah, what's happening with that beat?
This is the version that we're spotlighting here because of the changes they've made to it to make it even worse in 2018. But the central flaw of the song is, okay, Partridge in a Pear Tree. Fine, I can sing that. That's appropriate. But then once you do the two turtle doves, then you have to sing the Partridge in the Pear Tree again.
Yeah.
Then you add the third thing, and then you have to sing the second and the first thing again. So every verse, you're singing 90% stuff you've already sung before.
And by the way, you also missed the whole setup where you go, okay, you guys sing the five turtle doves. You guys sing, well, we don't want to sing. That takes about a half hour.
Yeah.
All right, so what this version does by a musician named AJ Ing, by the way, is surprise, when it gets to 12, it keeps going.
No.
So this should be the end of the song, but instead
13.
By the way, as dumb as 13 comfy cushions is, it's no dumber than anything else in the song.
It's on brand.
It's just everything about it is ridiculous. Then it goes to 20 items.
What?
Oh, come on.
Then 40.
No, sir.
Then 70. By the way, 70 is 70 unpaid interns, in case you're wondering.
Oh.
Then 100.
No, why are they doing this?
No.
And then 125.
Doing with their lives.
Guys, it ends up being 179 Days of Christmas. Now, I don't know how the decision was made to stop at 179.
They were just out.
They all passed out.
Yeah, they just passed out.
So we're going to play all of it.
No, we're not going to play all of it.
How long does the song go, Bean?
9 hours.
Oh, sweet baby.
You're exaggerating,
Jesus.
Though.
Let me see if I'm exaggerating.
You're exaggerating when you say 9 hours.
Yes, I am exaggerating. It is 8 hours, 56 minutes, and 22
oh,
seconds.
Holy crap!
8:56, 22.
What is their final item?
Let's see what number 179 is.
And a partridge in a pear tree. On the 179th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 179 most best balls.
Anyone get that?
What?
What was it?
Mothballs?
I don't know.
Something crawls?
Let's go back. I'm sorry.
Sir.
179.
Maybe that's why it ended. He had a stroke.
I feel like because he screwed that up, they should make him go back and start over.
Oh, let's start again. Forget it.
Start from the beginning. All right, let's hear some more items.
177 seashells by the seashore. 176 streets for Costco. 175 people think they're waiting for the subway. 174 observe. 173 tickets to the air show. 172 financial advisors.
I mean, we're at 173 financial advisors.
Did they have to do one take? Is that why he flubs and they don't lose it?
I can't imagine.
What, are you going to do two takes of a 9-hour song?
No, but it's like Dick Clark's Countdown.
I was assuming that they recorded this in parts, like they would, sing for 15 minutes and then take a break or something.
So see you Wednesday. Imagine, yeah,
I can't imagine they did, but I'm intrigued to hear more.
171 trips to Coney Island, 178 people with the podcast, 169
There's you, Ellie.
Oh, nice.
Nice, right? 169. Jensen, 170 people with the podcast, though.
There you go. He's underestimating.
Yeah, you don't see that in very many Christmas classics.
Wheels on a big rig. 167 thousand points to go for the future. 166 deadly snake bites. 165 keys to the city. 164 degrees of separation. 163 chickens with their heads cut off.
I mean, it just goes on and on, you guys.
Chickens with their heads cut off. Wow.
Seems dark.
So if you were looking for a way to take the worst Christmas song of all time and make it so much worse, congratulations. That is a success.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Hey, DJ Omar Khan.
Good morning. How are you?
You have a good time this weekend?
Why don't we get the day off after Acoustic Christmas?
Oh, amen.
Seriously.
I took it. It was pretty good.
Yeah, but it was great times. Great times.
It was good. Fun. Glad to hear it. Also excited to see your face this time of year because you are in charge. You're the archivist here at the Kevin and Bean Show, and you're in charge of a bunch of lists of the top tens that we do at the end of the year as we reflect back, in this case, on 2018. And this time, you get to toot your own horn a little bit because we're doing the top 10 Omar intros of the year.
The top 10 Omar intros. The top 10 Omar intros. And I don't think I really
know.
The intros are the best thing on the show.
The top 10 Omar intros.
And now it's
I do find a problem with this process in that Omar picks them and then makes his own jingle for them and then ranks them and then plays them in order that he likes.
That's correct.
Who else does that? I don't get to do that with Moments With.
I think Omar's got a pretty good read, though, on his own work. I think he's reasonable, and this has been a banner year once again for intros. Where do we start at number 10?
Absolutely. Well, I just want to kind of first toot my own horn and say I did 56 intros this year.
Is that right?
Oh, so yeah,
most of them are incredibly stupid, and Omar's like, "Yep, I can do it."
Exactly. So I have titles that didn't make the top 10, like the Tom Tom Club. Oh. We did a game called "Am I Ryan or Am I Lion?" Okay. We did Dr. Hockey. We did What the Duck, and then we did a game called "Are You Down with the Brown?" Most of these games, I have no idea what we're giving away.
Let's save "Are You Down with the Brown" for next year. Yeah. I like that one.
So at number 10, you guys, we were giving away tickets to April Foolishness, and we were having people call in with a guy walks into a bar jokes.
Okay.
And we're not creative. We're all, Omar, we're going to call this game A Guy Walks Into a Bar.
You can all win tickets to April Foolishness, Foolishness. Come on, tell the joke and make sure it's not filled with crappiness. All we really want is to laugh a lot, laugh a lot. So tell us why this guy walked into this. A guy walks into a bar.
Jokes. You hear the disgust in Omar's voice that he's being asked to do this.
Yeah, you know what's funny is that that's a good representation of something that I hear in my head, and then I go into the lab and I can't really execute because there's a bunch of extra like syllables in there that are not in the original song, but I just go with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
because I'm an artist,
right?
At number 9, we were giving away tickets to Call of Duty, and we did a game called Celebrity Valor, and
Celebrity Valor.
Yeah, this is my best kind of military drill sergeant impression.
If you get the answer right, you'll hear this. If you get it wrong, you hear this. It's time for Celebrity Valor. Get some. Get some. Get some.
You want to hear a funny story about that one?
Yes, please.
You can hear how loud I'm yelling, right?
Yeah.
So
I hear how loud you're yelling now. You have a microphone.
Really? Sorry, my bad.
No worries.
We moved into this new building here, and there's like other radio stations that are not really as loud as we are.
Mm-hmm.
So people are in other studios. They can look into my studio.
Yeah.
So I'm yelling at my top of my lungs, and people are like, what is wrong with
you're
that
yelling,
guy?
Get some!
Yeah,
he's like, oh, no.
What's happening?
Stop, drop, and roll, or whatever you do.
The guy over at the Wave is like, what the hell's going on here?
Exactly. At number 8, we were giving away tickets to the Ohana Festival, and this year we found out that Bean plays a ukulele.
Mm. Does
so,
he?
So we decided to do...
has a ukulele is what we found out.
We decided to do Hawaiian trivia, and we did Strut Butter Bean.
Hey, you know that bean?
now plays the ukulele. He loves it so much. He knows all about Hawaii. Just you try to stump the man. He knows everything Hawaiian. Stump Brother Bean, Stump Brother Bean.
I mean, that's well done.
That's pretty good. The other thing I guess I find so weird about my job is that I have to do so many different genres of like different stuff. And most of the stuff, you know, it's just crazy. One of the biggest hits of the year was Baby Shark. And Jensen did this new feature called I Found It on YouTube. And the reason I love this intro is because every time we play it, I get some hate on the Afro line saying, I can't get that song out of my head.
I found this
on YouTube, do 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 on YouTube, do 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 on YouTube, do 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 on YouTube.
Now I'm gonna have that stuck in my head all day.
At number six is a good example of something. You know, I try to keep the intros between 20 and 30 seconds, but you know what? Sometimes the artist in me just takes over.
Sure.
And this happens.
They want to kill you and they want your soul and they give you nightmares at night. They're so scary and they're possessed by the devil. They give you such a big fright.
I'm the devil.
Horror movie villains. Come on and guess it right or you'll be dead. Horror movie villains. I hope you get it wrong, I won't bloodshed. Horror movie villains. I wanna see your blood, I wanna see red.
Too much? I knew it was too long.
You don't go to Oasis and tell them, hey, Champagne Supernova has to be 3 minutes.
Why don't you cut that down?
Right. Thank you, Dean.
You're an artist.
At number five, we did a game called One Star Review where Jensen goes to Amazon.com and reads one star reviews and people have to guess what the people are reviewing.
Right.
And I like this one because it has such a throwback sound.
Hey, you, what do you do? I hop on the internet right with you. I think this sucks so much. One star for you. One star review. I think this is worse than poo. One star review. Man, I really, really hate you.
That's beautiful.
Thank you. At number four, I don't know why we did Stump Alley. But
Stump Alley.
Do you remember Alley?
I think it had to do with math.
Okay.
Was
okay.
It?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Well, I'm not sure, but here, I'm dead sexy on this one.
Stump Alley. Stump for good.
Stump.
Stump Alley.
Stump Alley.
Oh, so good. I'm moist.
Can I just say that Allie and I, neither of us remember that.
I really? Blocked that out. No memory of that.
I don't know.
Nope. Nothing.
Nope.
Okay. Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard that before. I think Omar's just slipping in new stuff now.
At number three, one of my favorite features that we introduced to the Kevin and Bean Show this year was animal stories, and this is what I came up with.
Animal stories in the news. Animal stories to cure your blues. Animal stories just for you. Let's find out what they're up to.
That's my favorite. I love it.
That was a good one. And also, it needs to be used over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Because we do it a lot. So that's a good one.
Thanks, man. Another one that we do on a regular basis, we introduced this feature this year, is Cheers with Beer Mug. And I always have a smile on my face when I hear this song.
Beer Mug, he wants to go where everybody knows his name.
Yeah.
Asking questions with no shame.
What are you?
He's already drunk as a skunk, but people are glad he came.
Oh!
Beer Mug wants to go where everyone knows his name.
Wow.
Thanks to Psycho Mike Catherwood for the vocals on that one. And number one, I don't know what we were giving away or what we did, but this one was called Know Your Kevin, and the intro is amazing.
Do you know your Kevin? He was sent to us from heaven.
That's stupid.
He's a little slow, but how well do you really know
Kevin?
Do you know your Kevin? IQ of almost 11.
What?
Do you? Do
Do you know your Kevin?
Kev Dog.
Do you know right, your Kevin?
Gally. Ooh, me so horny. Wow, I'm an asshole.
Do you know your Kevin?
That song is over, and now we will speak.
Do you know your Kevin?
Want a banana, you hot little monkey bitch? It's also a, what was I just going to say?
Know your Kevin.
Oh, I don't understand what that means.
I totally forgot that I even did that. Had no idea. Don't know what we were giving away. But
I'm so happy you found it.
But I love it.
And that's the top 10?
The top 10 Omar Intros. Oh, yeah.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
K-Rock.
Guys, Sunday nights, this Escape at Dannemora, I've been telling you about it since it debuted a few weeks ago. It's one of those stories that you may vaguely remember about a prison escape in upstate New York, but you have no idea how crazy the circumstances were about this escape.
All I remember was there was a guard, there was a woman that was having sex with two guys that were convicted of murder.
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
It is an insane story, and I totally get why it needed to be filmed. Ben Stiller is the man who did it, executive producer and director of Escape at Dannemora on Showtime. Ben, welcome back to the Kevin Bean Show, sir. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning. How you doing?
Great to talk to you. Were you like me when that story broke, like you couldn't get enough of it? The details were so insane, it was hard to imagine that it was real.
Yeah, you know, I was actually out of the country when it happened. I was in Italy working on a movie, so I heard about it after the fact. But then I saw that it was on like the TV news every day. And when I learned about it, you know, every time I learned something new about it, it was so much more unbelievable. It just seemed, you know, like kind of like a cliche, like a movie.
Well, that was my response was there's too much weirdness here. What's real and what's not? And it was all real.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when we decided to do it, for me, the whole idea was to show everything in as real a way as possible, because the more real stuff we found out, the more insane it was. So we got this report by the Inspector General of New York State, who did an investigation a year after it happened, and we used that sort of as our Bible. So my hope was people would watch and go, no, that can't be true, or they made that up. And then when you look it up, you see it actually happened.
Yeah, because they started writing the script before they were even caught, right? Like, it was basically something they just added to over and over again, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, and then when I got on board, we decided to kind of go and dig deep into the research. And, you know, we went and talked to one of the inmates who escaped. And we, you know, just read all the transcripts and then got the actual Inspector General of New York State to help us out. And we met with them. And, you know, it's a pretty fascinating story that they broke out of this maximum security prison using hacksaw blades to cut through the back of their cells that were smuggled in by this woman, Tilly Mitchell, who was a civilian supervisor in the tailor shop where they were sewing uniforms, where these inmates would go, 40 or 50 inmates in a room with one civilian supervisor. And she would go in the back room with them and fool around, and they sort of seduced her.
I mean, she's a hero. No?
That's she
not,
a hero? No,
that's not the takeaway.
I don't think so.
Ben, are these the least sexy sex scenes you've ever been involved in?
Well, you know, the reality of it was that they were in a rush. You know, they could only go in the back room for a few minutes.
Right.
And we were trying to kind of just portray, you know, what happens, what would happen in this, you know, I don't do well in a rush. I don't know about you, but these people figure it out.
Yeah, it's not going to be Red Shoe Diaries.
No, but I mean, I have to say, like, I give the actors so much credit, because they were really, you know, explicit scenes, and they weren't romantic, and they really approached it in a very, you know, very workmanlike way, and they had to just go for it. And so, you know, Paul Dano and Benicio del Toro and Patricia Arquette really, you know,
what a cast, by the way.
Yeah.
What a cast.
Yeah. Insane cast.
Yeah. And they're amazing actors. And they really went into, you know, Patricia just transformed for the role and became this woman and, you know, let go of all vanity, because she really had to just be this person. And, you know, I don't think you see that a lot with actresses.
No, she's almost unrecognizable in this role. Yeah. And I guess she looks a lot like the real woman, right? The real Tilly.
Yeah, I mean, Tilly at the time was a 51-year-old grandmother who was married to a maintenance worker who worked at the prison also. So they lived together. They drive an hour to work every day. He'd go work at a different part of the prison. She'd go and work in the tailor shop, was having this thing with both inmates, and then would drive home at the end of the day with him. And then eventually it got to the point where we're at in this series now on we're at episode 4, aired last night, where they're, you know, starting to plot this escape and what would happen, what they would possibly do to her husband to kind of, you know, not have him. She called him the glitch.
He's a real mouth breather. You guys portray him in a very, very creepy way.
Yeah, I don't want to give anything away, but one of the items on the list to take care of the glitch is a hacksaw. So that's a hit. We're talking to actor and director Ben Stiller about this wonderful Showtime series called Escape from Dannemora. If you're like Kevin, who hasn't gotten to it yet, it is on demand. You can catch up and continue as the series continues.
This is right up my alley. I can't wait.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
And you got to shoot it in the real jail, right, Ben?
Yeah, we got to shoot part of it in the real jail. Clinton Correctional is up in Dannemora, New York, which is about 30 or 40 miles from the Canadian border, really way up north in the middle of the Adirondacks. And so it's very hard to recreate that, but the New York State Department of Corrections allowed us in to shoot outside the prison and then in the yard of the prison, which is this incredible, huge yard that looks out over the mountains where the prisoners go. So we got to shoot some really amazing scenes there and, you know, spend time up there in the winter, which is pretty bleak. They call it Little Siberia up there.
Excellent. Yeah. Were the actors as happy as you were that you got to go up there?
You know what? you know, a lot of time at the Comfort Inn.
Sure.
And it's actually good for the actors, I think, because they could really, you know, immerse themselves in the area and get a sense of what it's like to live up there and what the experience is like for people working at the prison, which is pretty tough.
Yeah. Ben, how long did it take? I was trying to track it watching the show last night. How long did it take Paul Dano's character, David Sweat, to cut through all that rock underneath the prison that he had to get through to get to that pipe?
Well, first of all, he didn't even know that the pipe was going to be a way out, because they got to the outer wall of the prison. It took him about 2 weeks to get once they got out of the backs of their cells, they cut out of the backs of their cells. That took them about 3 or 4 weeks. And they would do that actually in the evening during rec time on the cell block. So it wasn't in the middle of the night. It was when people were awake because there was more noise going on.
Jeez.
And then they got through their cells, got into the catwalks, got down into the basement, and he started to explore around. And it took him about 2 weeks. He had to break through two brick walls, and he got to the outer wall of the prison, which was 7 feet thick. And then he realized that was going to take years to chisel through if they could even get through. And then one day in late May, he discovered the steam pipe that went into the wall, this 18-inch steam pipe, it turned off, and it was off for the summer. So there was nothing going on in that pipe, and if he cut a hole in that pipe, they could shimmy through the pipe and then cut a hole on the other side of the wall and cut their way out.
You hope, you got to hope they weren't like a felon, because they would have like cured cancer.
Right? I was thinking, you think when you watch this, sure, he's in there for dismembering a man. Sure, this guy killed a sheriff, but God, are they smart. They're real good at stuff.
Real good.
Yeah. You know, in prison, you have nothing but time. And these guys really did just, they just wanted to get out. And I wouldn't, you know, look, if I was in prison, I'd want to figure out a way out also. It's a pretty daunting place, but David Sweat, I think, could have been an engineer or something else if he hadn't been the criminal that he was. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I can't recommend this enough, you guys. Check it out on Showtime on Sunday nights. It really is a fascinating real-life story, and every actor in this thing is amazing. And I got to be honest, directing's pretty good too, you guys. Honestly, pretty well.
It's very easy for Ben Stiller to do anything about jail being a Knicks fan. He knows what it's like to be completely alone and hurt.
In NBA jail?
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's no escape.
That's right, exactly. No amount of hacksaws are going to get you out of that, Ben. Hey, listen, thank you for jumping on. We miss you. Happy holidays to you and your family. We'll talk again soon, all right?
All right, thanks, guys. Good talking to you.
Take you care. Bye-bye.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, K-Rock.
First, how about some great news?
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news today.
Great news!
All right, mine starts with a homeless veteran in Blue Springs, Missouri. This community has found common ground in their care and appreciation for this homeless man. His name is Steve Arnold. He's 66 years old. He's a vet. Mm-hmm. And he has some mental problems, and he lived with his daughter, but then they ran into financial trouble, and he ended up living in a tent. And he sets himself apart by never, ever, ever asking anybody for anything. So he'll show up in front of like the 7-Eleven or whatever it is there in Missouri and clean up cigarette butts and whatever's on the sidewalk. And finally, the woman that ran that shop came out and said, "What's your story? You don't have to pick up our trash." And he's like, "I'm not really doing anything else. I'm good."
Oh, wow.
Here's the story.
Steve Arnold is a stranger to few in Blue Springs. In fact, the homeless veteran is well known to the folks that drive along Woods Chapel Road because of his daily rounds to a pair of convenience stores.
I'm here about every day, and then I hang around for most of it. Well, at 12 noon, I go up to Little General so I can call my daughter every day.
Steve has been homeless for over a decade, but over the last few months, his routine caught the attention of Quick Trip manager Sella Minker, who began to see Steve as more than just a homeless man.
I always caught Steve outside picking up trash, and I was like, "Steve, stop picking up my trash." And he's like, "I got nothing else to do." So it really was a while for us to kind of get to know him.
As time went on, their relationship grew. And as the holidays approached, knowledge of Steve's story expanded across Blue Springs thanks to a post on the community's Facebook page.
People just started commenting, like, "How's Steve doing?" So I asked Steve some questions, and he gave me some info. And so people just started bringing up bags of clothes and would help him out with, you know, giving him some food, some money for food.
It was a gesture Steve says helped remind him of the kindness that's in the heart of his neighbors and now friends.
Just very gracious. I'm just very grateful to all of them. I just realizing that, you know, this area has got a lot of decent people.
How about that?
What? No.
No.
Oh, convenience store owner?
No.
Starts to take notice of the,
no.
of the hunky homeless guy picking up trash in the parking lot? Next thing you know?
Wow.
I don't believe that's where that one's going.
Well, I didn't hear that part of the story, but maybe they just left that out.
And that's my great news.
Your homeless guy may be even better than my homeless guy.
Yes!
Kevin. My homeless guy is named Kevin. Kevin Booth, homeless and hungry. He also lives in a tent in the woods. He has refused on numerous occasions the opportunity to stay in one of Sumner, Washington's shelters. He prefers to stay outside. He woke up the other morning. He was hungry. He went to the local food bank there looking for bread that is left outside overnight for people to take. But instead of bread, there was a brown paper bag just outside the front door of the food bank that caught his attention. It had $17,000 cash in it.
Oh, my.
Wow. Laying in front of the food bank. At first, I was like, "What the heck is that laying on the ground?" He's 32 years old. He did an interview with the News Tribune paper. He said he looked inside, saw stacks of money, slid out a $20 bill. "Of course, I sniffed it to see if it was real," he said. "It smelled legitimate." That's what I want to know. It smelled legitimate. He said he didn't count it. He didn't know how much cash was inside, but he knew what he had to do. So he waited until the Sumner Community Food Bank opened about 20 minutes later, and he handed the bag to a volunteer who opened the door. He said, "This is for you." Somebody left it on the doorstop. No reference to that at all.
He gave 70. Okay.
The employee realized that there was something amiss, so called the police. They showed up, took possession of the money, opened an investigation. Nobody knew where the money had come from, but they checked it out to see if anyone had been robbed, looked for suicidal people who may have withdrawn a large sum of money, which is something I never would have thought of.
Does he get it back?
They came up empty, and after 90 days, nobody claimed the loot, so they gave it back to the Sumner Community Food Bank. In a ceremony, they also presented the homeless man, Kevin Booth, with a citizen citation for his honesty. The food bank wants to... Well, he's
and
the one.
They gave him a citation.
Kevin is so mad.
He found 17,000.
But he gave it.
Peel him off a grand. What's happening?
He gave it to the food bank, though.
Right.
You'll be happy to know that the food bank says to protect him, they don't want to give him a bunch of cash, but they are going to get him some warmer clothes, including boots and coat for the winter. And they will give him various gift cards over time rather than a lump sum of cash as a reward. Maybe they know something about the way this man handles money, but obviously in this case, he handled it perfectly because he turned it in, right?
How about that?
Wow.
So he says, "Look," it wasn't a hard decision for me at all. If it's not yours, you shouldn't be taking it. It was obvious that it was there because somebody was leaving it for the food bank. It wasn't for me. I'm an honest dude. There are other people who would have taken it. I am just not that person. So he's a little bit of a hero, I think, and that's a happy ending because they can use that money for a lot of people who really need it in the town of Sumner, Washington. And that's my great news.
feel like whoever did leave it could have done a better job. Waited 20 minutes for them to open.
Sure.
Yes. Handed to them themselves. Something.
Yeah, because that could have been any kid on a bicycle just riding by and grabbing
any
it, right?
Any kid on a bike. Absolutely. I love you, Bean. Something that I always find really lovely about different artists when they do their shows, you know, even huge stadium tours, when they spend a little bit of time making sure that there's different charity aspects to it. Mm-hmm. Like Beyonce did a big, like, she had different stations everywhere so you can register to vote. So she got people really involved that way. But this is about one of my favorite bands that is ensuring that there's going to be food for all cities on their tour. One of the biggest bands in the world, and that is Metallica. They have been donating thousands of dollars to food banks on every stop of their worldwide tour.
Wow.
The donations are being made through the band's All Within My Hands Foundation, and they recently made headlines for their $10,000 donation to the Utah Food Bank, which is enough to provide food for 30,000 hungry Utahns. That's a lot of meals right there. So they basically take money at each stop and then donate it to that city's food bank, which is incredible.
That's
to
very
do.
Cool.
Not only that, but they also, you know, donate different amounts of money all along the way if anything bad happens in those areas. But they just made a $50,000 donation to benefit California wildfire victims earlier this month.
Wow. So,
and they still got it.
Sound better than ever.
Still am available if James ever needs a day off. But as of right now, I think they're doing a really great thing for every single city on their tour. I think that's amazing. So that is my great news.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
He is perhaps best known for 7 seasons of New Girl, also Jurassic World, and the upcoming Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. But I know and love him as Man on Cell Phone from a 2007 episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm. Please welcome Jake Johnson to the Kevin and Bean Show, guys.
Thank you. Thank you.
How are you, Jake? Oh, good. You killed it on that Curb Your Enthusiasm.
It's one of the scariest jobs I've ever had.
It has to be. You're working with the king of all comedy.
Not only that. My job was to say the N-word casually. It was my job is I say the N-word in full.
Yes.
And Larry David hears it, then goes off and starts the episode.
Oh, my God.
So I thought, you know, obviously everyone's going to be prepped and blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
But the crew did not know what the scene was about. And so the scene starts and some unknown actor on his cell phone who with shaky hands, because I was nervous, walks in and says like, "So I'm moving futons and this N-word, right, blah, sure, blah, blah." And Larry David just gives me a look and the scene ends. He does not say good job afterwards. Nobody says anything. I'm being looked at with such hatred. And I'm like, oh my, we did 3 takes. And then Larry David goes, almost too realistic. Then I left. Nightmare first job.
That's terrible.
Terrible.
That was your first.
It was one
gig.
Of my first. That was like my first, like, you know, big non-commercial yeah. like acting.
How did
job.
You ever work again? Why were you not blackballed in Hollywood forever after that?
By the way, it's whiteballed. Please.
sorry.
Anyway, it's we don't even say anything. It's just bald.
You got bald. I got bald. Yeah.
That's actually how a lot of people get their jobs.
That's right.
Yeah. I got bald, and then I got really lucky.
I didn't realize I was going to be opening up such a deep scar when I brought that up. I was just making it funny, but wow, yeah, what a story.
Because if I'm Larry David, I go, "Guys, real quick, something crazy is going to happen in this scene." I would warn people.
That's
but
right.
Poor Jake got thrown to the wolves.
But I think that's what makes Larry David so great.
It's true.
Is the tension in the air made the whole thing. Yeah, like, if everybody was in on it, I would have been more casual. Then when I had to do a second take, I was in hell.
Right.
You know, our friend Adam Ray, you may know him too, Jake. He's a great guy, great comedian, great actor. He's been on Curb a couple of times, and he is encouraged to ad-lib with Larry David, who's maybe one of the greatest ad-libbers of all time. Imagine being in that situation where they're just asking you to just say whatever comes to mind, and you know it's your fault if it doesn't go anywhere, right?
Yeah, you know, that's good and it's bad. It's also really fun to be able to ad-lib because you can't screw up your lines. Mm-hmm. So it's hard, you know, as an actor, I think it'd be harder to get a job where you have to do a Shakespearean monologue in front of Larry David.
Yeah.
I'd rather just ad-lib.
Yeah, and it's. I mean, there are some people who every word of dialogue is precious, and they want it done. I think Aaron Sorkin is famous for that.
He is.
But his stuff actually is that good.
Yeah.
But I imagine it's a lot easier to feel like a regular person having a real conversation if you can kind of put some things in your own words a little bit.
I also think it's a different skill set. You know, I remember I did an independent movie with an actor named Lee Pace, who's phenomenal.
Oh, we know Lee. He's great.
He's so good. It was called Ceremony. Max Winkler directed it.
Well, Max.
Yeah, Max.
My guy.
You know Max.
I do.
Yeah, Max.
Oh, Valley Kids.
Yeah, Max is awesome. And, you know, we were doing the scenes, and I was improvising around my lines a little bit, and then Lee Pace came in and was word perfect. Everything was perfect, and he would get notes, and Max could say, like, in that monologue on your seventh line, could you speed up these two words? And then Lee would do it, and he was so good at it that it was that realization that I'm like, oh, there's just different types of actors.
Yeah.
I can never do what he does. But then Lee would say, like, well, I don't want to improvise this. And I'm like,
So you learned that some actors are good.
Some actors are. Yeah, they're trained.
That was the takeaway I got from that. Well, Jake, we haven't seen you in a while. I know Kevin talked to you about this movie that's coming out this Friday, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, at Comic-Con. So you were already talking about it last summer, but it is finally here, and I'm sure you are aware the reviews are maybe the greatest comic book movie ever, people are saying. Are you blown away by
it? It's crazy.
It's crazy.
I had expectations of, just because I like Philip Lord very much.
The best.
But to see people saying it's the best superhero movie of the decade, like, I can't say I saw that coming.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. Phil Lord really is that talented, by the way. I got an email from him about 2.5 years ago that he said he was thinking about me for this part, and, you know, I knew the thing was going to be good because he was involved and Chris was involved, and then when I met our directors and saw what the animators were doing, you know, I knew we had something special. I'm excited that people are, you know, buzzing about it, but it's also a really good movie.
My friend, this is his review. Animation is bonkers. Hit me right in the feels.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. Yeah. That's such a dude review, and you loved it. Well, that's amazing.
The whole idea was, they said they wanted to make a comic book that feels like it's come to life. So you're watching the way you used to look at comics as a movie.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I remember, like, the first time I saw a Pixar movie, I remember thinking, I don't think you can do this with animation. Mm-hmm. This doesn't look like cartoons.
Yeah.
And then you go, like, oh, I actually loved it. This was their goal, so that everybody watches it and goes, is this right?
Right.
Is this how it's supposed to be? And then you realize about 15 minutes in, you're like, oh, yeah, this is just new animation.
And this is the cast around Jake. Shameik Moore, Haley Steinfeld, Mahershala Ali, Brian Tyree Henry, Lily Tomlin, John Mulaney, Nicolas Cage, Liv Schreiber, and I'm sure there's some surprises that aren't on that list.
Yeah. But did you say Lily Tomlin?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
I'm blown away because it basically is like a very inclusive Spider-Man universe, right? Yeah. It's like everything that's come up from the cartoons and the comic books, it's like all different types of the Spider-Man we know, right?
That's right. The idea of it is that, you know, I play Peter Parker from our universe.
The one we know.
Mm-hmm. But it's Peter at 40. So it's Peter past his, you know, Spider-Man glory days.
Yeah, like Corvette-buying Peter Parker.
Would you say Paunchy Peter?
It's Paunchy Peter. Okay. It's, you know, it's the Peter who's more, you know, he was with MJ. It worked out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, life happens.
Yeah, it does.
And it's all of a sudden when, like, all the, you know, the glory days have faded a little bit, Peter Parker.
You got, like, a leather couch in Burbank.
Yes, that's right. But he's also like, was this all my fault, Peter?
Sure.
He hasn't turned into saying, I'm going to get an earring and dye my hair, and I'm still 25.
Right.
He's in the point of 40 where he's like, maybe I did something wrong, Peter.
Right.
And he gets sucked into a different dimension where there's a young guy who gets bit by a spider named Miles Morales.
We gotta stamp out these spiders, you guys. They're just biting everybody.
They're a nightmare.
They really are.
They're a nightmare.
Nobody has Raid. What's going on?
come on. You gotta go along for the fun here, buddy.
We're talking to actor Jake Johnson here on the Kevin and Bean Show about the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. How many different Spider-Mans are in the movie?
Well, you gotta see the movie, but a lot. But
well, the ones I can see here, there's Spider-Ham, which is crazy. There's Miles Morales. There seems to be a Spider-Man Noir. These are just three.
Yeah, but what it's really about, the core of the movie, which was something exciting to be part of it, the idea of it is that anybody can wear the mask. And there's something really nice about that. So you introduce an Afro-Latino Spider-Man. You introduce Spider-Gwen, who's the first female Spider-Person. And all of us work together to do what we do.
So fantastic. Anyone could be a superhero.
Anyone can be a super. Is the actual core message. You can all change the world. You all have the ability within
you. I think
you.
That's what my friend meant by
hit me right in the feels.
Yeah, it hits kind of hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's nice.
All right. Quick break. Like Jake Johnson is our guest here on The Kevin and Bean Show. The movie opens everywhere in theaters this Friday, December 14th. We'll be right back on K-Rock.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. KROQ.
Jake Johnson is in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show. We are talking about, among other things, Spider-Man and the Spider-Verse. What?
What is going on?
If you could have seen Jake's face.
What the hell just happened?
Nothing.
Are you having a stroke?
No, if you could have seen Jake's face.
No, because
I think he thought you were serious.
With what?
With the grown-ups working here.
Because right before we went on air, he snapped at you.
I think we start over.
No, we definitely are professionals that are going to keep this in.
Here's the thing, Jake, is that we're doing a radio show.
Uh-huh.
And 10 seconds before the end of every song, Allie decides she wants to start a new conversation. And we just don't have time for that nonsense because we're doing a radio show.
You guys see that Laker game? And it's literally 4, 3, 2.
You know I can hear you guys right now.
Well,
I'm here.
In 4 or 3. What are you guys up to, too? Oh, no. And commercial.
Do you guys believe in Christianity?
And commercial.
That's how it works in here. I have to ask you this, Jake. Forgive me if this is a dumbass question. Have you done any voices for animation before?
Yeah, little parts. I've done...
BoJack.
Oh, yeah, I have done BoJack. That's right.
BoJack.
Yeah, but everything I've done up to this point has been a different process in that you go in for a day... And you do all your scenes, and it takes an hour and a half.
Sure, in your pajamas.
Yeah, and they're like, great job. And you're like, thanks. This was the coolest job ever. Yeah. This was the first animated job that felt like a real acting job, where I think I was in that booth 40 different times over the last 2.5 years.
Wow.
They would animate around us. We would then, you know, go around the animation. We would be part of the process. We were improvising. We were doing their alt lines. It was a whole thing.
So were you in the booth with other actors?
Yeah, Shamik and I got to record together so that we would have to do our scenes, you know, as just a 3.5-page scene or a 4-page scene.
Oh, fun. Amazing.
Yeah, and then they would pick up lines, but we would have to deliver the scene like it was a scene.
Right.
That's so cool.
It was really fun.
Also, can you hook me up with the Spider-Man Jordans?
Those are so hard to get now. It's becoming a thing.
It's a thing. So basically, Miles Morales in the film wears a certain type of Air Jordan. Mm-hmm. I, as someone who has a sad collection of over 150.
You're a sneakerhead.
I'm a sneakerhead. At the premiere, they sold some of them. Mm-hmm. And there was a line at the premiere.
Which was crazy.
Like, people are supposed to be like, you know, reserved Hollywood jaded types. But instead, here they are waiting in line to buy shoes.
Here was the ridiculous thing about those shoes.
Yeah.
So I'm walking in, and it's the premiere. I'm going to go do the red carpet. I see the thing with the shoes.
Sure.
And somebody goes, oh, do you want some shoes? And mostly those things, they're like pins. So you just say like, sure. And then you like put it on your jacket, or you put the hat on. And
some,
you do
some
the
swag.
And I didn't know what it was. Yeah. And I go, yeah, sure. And they go, well, do you have a credit card? Because I'm like, what is happening? They're like,
you are Peter Parker.
And I was like, everybody needs to calm down. I didn't hear the backstory on these damn shoes. Slow down.
So you passed?
No, I said, good. I'm interested.
Good.
I'm interested.
But I do like the idea that even Peter Parker has to buy the Spider-Man.
Everybody's buying those shoes.
Jake, do you, Jensen just mentioned his sneaker collection. He also has a ridiculous Blu-ray collection. But do you collect anything?
I'm an idiot.
I know, Blu-ray, right? Like, he doesn't even have a player now.
Because I think that we're going to be losing the digital eventually. Like, it's a whole thing. You don't want to hear it.
You know, and I think he's right, by the way.
If we lose all that, you'll be able to just watch movies in the apocalypse.
Yeah, I think my panic.
The last thing I want to do when we're in that era is be like, oh, the streets are crazy. I'm gonna throw in this sequel.
I was like, hey,
who
guys,
wants to watch Turner and Hooch?
Guys,
learn to fight, man.
I'm running out of water and food. But if you guys want to check out The Burbs, the Tom Hanks movie from,
dude, does that have commentary on it?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, the neighborhood. Is burning, but interesting that they shot this all in 2 months in Seattle.
You guys, you know,
coming to your house in the apocalypse.
Scorsese only did a director's commentary to Mean Streets. Let's do it. Make sure none of you have a disease when you come into my panic room.
My question was, do you collect anything? Like, did you get a big fat New Girl check and said, you know what? Now's the time to add to my collection and buy something crazy.
Yeah, properties.
Okay. You're way smarter than Jensen is.
You know what, man? You never know. Blu-rays can turn.
Yeah, you're right. No, I'm not a big collector guy. I don't like to travel with a lot, so my problem would be if I did move, I wouldn't have, I used to deliver, I used to like move furniture as a job. Mm-hmm. So all I would think is when I saw those Blu-rays is like packing them and moving them.
Yeah, it's the, it's the heaviest boxes, tell
it's
you that.
It's the heaviest stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I got rid of all my trophies.
Oh, such a weird way to brag.
I know.
Weird, and we're not flex. Asking you what you got them from. Moving on. Commercial yeah. break.
We know it's not from radio.
Damn. What about all the Nobel Prizes, Al? You don't even mention those.
We
so
know it's
modest.
Not for transitions either.
Jake, or being humble.
Do you, do
well
you stay in? Please tell me the answer to this is yes. Do you stay in touch with your now lifelong friends that you worked with shoulder to shoulder on The New Girl for all those seasons?
I actually do, for better or for worse.
Oh, that's great.
I got a Instagram message from Lamorne Morris, who mm-hmm. is now posting videos of himself working out for no reason. Oh, and he wrote...
Is he Buff Winston now?
No. He looks the same. It's just a photo of him, and he's pretending it's a paid partnership. And he DM'd me, and he goes, "Who's writing the copy on your Instagram?" And I go, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "It sounds like a robot is doing it. Like, thank you for having me and whatever." And I was like, "Stop writing me. Leave me alone. I'm doing press, man. Just scram, you geek."
Beat it, kid.
Beat it, man.
That's awesome.
But yeah, we all still text and mess with each other quite a bit. I think we'll all be friends for a very long time.
What a wonderful experience, by the way. Was it hard to come down from that job after doing it for so long?
Yeah, you know, that job ended in December, and I haven't taken an acting job since, besides this voiceover, and I'm writing a show that I'm going to star in for Netflix called Hoops, which is an animated show. But it's been really tricky taking another acting job because a network show is like a marriage. And once that ends, it's such a weird concept to just jump on another cast and be part of another show.
Yeah.
So I've taken some time... you know, to drive a Miata and get an earring. And I bleached my hair, and I look like 15 years younger.
Yeah,
I
mean,
everyone's buzzing about how young I look in here.
Yeah, and everyone calling you stepdad seems weird.
Yeah, I prefer Greg, but okay. Whatever. If you ever want to call me dad, I am cool with it.
It's fine.
How about daddy? Are you okay with that? Because I'm partial to that.
I bet you are, Bean.
It's kind of weird in here.
Yeah, I'm
all right, last question for me, because we're almost out of time, and that is, you said in one of your exit interviews, as you've been promoting the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, that you wanted to devote some time to passion projects, things that you've been wanting to get going for a long time, maybe even some smaller things.
Yeah.
You have just like a whole list of things that are backed up that you just can't wait to begin in?
Yeah, well, I've actually spent this last year writing them a lot. I'm doing something with Apple right now that's been a lot of fun. And then this animated show, Hoops, I'm doing with an old friend of mine that we're writing that's, you know, going to be real. It's on
about
Netflix,
earrings, right?
Yeah, it's just about my love of earrings and jewelries and, you know, glamming up a little bit.
It's about basketball, I'm hoping.
Yes, it is,
right,
of course.
I'm stoked.
Oh, yeah. Such a better guess, Jensen. Why didn't I even think about that?
Well, I was going to say it's about the Flavor of Love contestant Hoops. But
it is, for sure. And her relationship with Shaquille O'Neal.
Too obscure.
All right. Spider-Man, Into the Spider-Verse, this Friday. Hey, this is the sum up, you guys. I'm okay. Putting some power
into it. You did it.
It opens everywhere this Friday. Jake, you must be so proud to be a part of this. People love it. I can't wait to see it. Congratulations on it.
Thank you very much.
And it's very nice that you have, you know, throughout the years you've been, you know, working and whatnot, you've been very kind about coming in, and when you have a movie and stuff, we love having you in.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's always fun.
He reeled it in at the last minute.
Did you think it was going to turn and I was going to say he was a dick?
I wasn't sure either.
I wasn't sure.
I was bracing for the final blow that knocked me out before this one ended.
Happy holidays to you, Jake.
Happy
Thanks a lot for stopping
friend.
By the Kevin and Bean Show. Bye-bye.
Bye.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. KU Rock.
First, Allie's got what's happening here on a Monday.
Well, rumors swirling all around who is going to host the 2019 Academy Awards. This, of course, because Kevin Hart stepped down from the gig after his refusal to apologize for old tweets with homophobic language. Of course, he then did step down and apologized, which all of it seemed like it was all weird.
It was odd.
I can't. So rumors are swirling that they're begging Eddie Murphy.
Well, they had him, and then he dropped out when Brett Ratner couldn't do it. That's already been a thing.
I feel like also, wouldn't he be like, remember when I dropped out because the director I was working with said something homophobic, so I dropped out then.
Also,
plus, I just had my 10th kid.
Also, you think Kevin Hart has some homophobic stuff in his past.
Yeah, no kidding.
Eddie Murphy has tons of stand-up specials that go way, way beyond that.
True, but... unlike Kevin Hart, even though people say, oh, he did apologize. No, he didn't, right. ever. He addressed it, but he never apologized for it. Eddie Murphy has apologized for it.
Yes.
Do you guys think Eddie Murphy would have it now?
I mean, you would
think
so.
Do you know what I mean? Like, has he performed in an...
You'd think so. He hasn't done stand-up in years, but you would think he... I mean, that's like riding a bike to a guy like that.
I think he's Eddie Murphy.
Yeah. Oh, and he's Eddie Murphy.
He could do it.
I did hear this weekend from an unnamed source who their first pick was before Kevin Hart.
Can I take a guess?
Yeah, it's a great one. We never said his name.
I just thought of this as you all were talking about Eddie Murphy. Dave Chappelle.
He'd be great, but that was not the one.
Will Ferrell.
No, but close with the name.
Will Forte.
No.
Shatner.
Yes, William Shatner was going to do all Christmas
ship,
music.
Good ship.
No, Will Smith.
Will Smith.
Interesting.
Will Smith. Interesting.
He would have been great. And it's so weird. He spends all his time doing Instagram but didn't want to do the Oscars. It seems like that would have been a good fit. And you have some time, it appears.
Look, Will Smith is the most likable guy in the world, but he's not funny.
I think Will Smith's kind of funny. I mean, funny in like a commercial.
Do you think of him as a comedian? I don't.
No. You know what I think he is? I think he's fun more than funny.
He's entertaining.
Yeah, fun more than funny, right?
Yeah.
Well, IndieWire has compiled a top 10 list of people that they think would work out. Number 10, Kate McKinnon and Kumail Nanjiani.
Love it.
Together.
Love it. I would love that too.
Love that.
Number 9 is Will Smith.
Sure.
Okay. Number 8, Melissa McCarthy.
I was waiting for that. Okay.
Number 7, The Rock.
Yes.
Who we were told was asked and said no.
Correct.
Right.
The Rock's asked for everything.
Oh, I think everyone except Kate McKinnon and Kumail have been asked on this list, but go on.
And I feel like we even asked The Rock for Acoustic Christmas. He's like, I don't play, I'm in, whatever.
Yeah.
Number 6, just someone who's hosted before, whether it's a Jimmy Kimmel, Ellen DeGeneres, that type of thing.
They've all said no.
Yep.
They've all said no. Number 5, no host at all.
Which I'm down for.
There's nothing wrong with that either.
Yeah.
That's what
That's
what the MTV Video Music Awards does now.
Yeah.
Number 4, Tom Hanks.
Yes.
He'd be great.
Speaking of the most likable human on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Number 3, Lin-Manuel Miranda.
That name has been popping up places.
Mm-hmm. He would also be great. I feel like too many people don't know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they would love that.
But I think
that.
He could win him over. I don't know.
Well, that's interesting that you think that about Lin-Manuel Miranda, because when I bring you number 2 on IndieWire's list, Awkwafina.
No, that's not
really.
No, the
Asian woman from Crazy Rich Asians.
She was not good hosting Saturday Night Live. I do not want her hosting the Oscars.
Correct. Smokey Love.
No,
there's
no.
a good guess.
Seems
that's
no.
a good,
that's weird
a real good guess.
So that's the top 9. Number 1. It's Jensen's pick.
Oh, I thought it was me.
No, Jensen.
Yeah.
No, it's Tiffany Haddish.
Yeah, I think Tiffany Haddish is probably the...
If I had to bet, I bet she has the inside track right now.
Oh, I think she already asked.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, right? Yeah. I would think Tiffany Haddish got asked and said no. Yeah.
Oh.
That's my guess.
Interesting.
Oh, I think... Boogie?
No, Awkwafina.
Awkwafina, different.
Mm-hmm.
I would think all these people, except Kumail and Kate and Awkwafina, did get asked on that list.
I'd like Kumail and Kate McKinnon.
Be great.
I would, too.
Great. That'd be great.
Let's do it, you guys.
From Gilligan's Island?
I think
the list is already over.
I don't think he's in the running.
I still like Beans, Will Ferrell, and John C. Reilly. That's the one that sticks out to me.
That would be great.
Sure. Amazing.
Fantastic.
Amazing.
Yeah.
We'll ask Will.
Yeah. Al Jolson.
That would be touchy. Quite the coup, though,
right? Probably the wrong guy.
Hasn't he been dead for like 100 years?
Yes, he has.
No! Kelly Clarkson!
She's very likable.
Talk show host.
Dat boy,
right? He could just come out on a unicycle. All right. Some birthdays for you. Kenneth Branagh, Raven Simone, and Meg White.
Skin like a China doll, and bosom still Tuesday.
All right. Bean said, can you leave me a little extra time after you say Meg White? And I said yes,
next
thinking
time
it was
no.
a Meg White drop.
Right.
Lord. That's what's happening.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. K-Rock. K-Rock.
How about our old friend Andrew Siciliano, our former friend Andrew Siciliano that we used to like before he stiffed us last night and didn't even show up for Acoustic Christmas?
Choosing his parents. What a cheap move that was.
Listen,
yes,
the way my parents, or my father specifically, bless their hearts, and I love them both, was so worked up about how much time he needed at the airport this morning to check bags and all that.
Oh, is that right?
That anxiety in the home, I would have been, and again, I love my parents.
We would have brought him out on stage, Andrew.
Sure.
Happy to be there with you. I hear the show was great.
It was amazing. We're going to talk about it in a couple minutes. By the way, my my dad, when he was still with us, Andrew, needed 2 miles heads up before he got off the freeway. 2 miles.
Meaning you're like, hey, you got to give me directions. I'm 1.5 miles out.
Yes. He needed that much time to get into lanes. So sometimes crazy. You just have to bend to old people a little bit.
Yeah.
Understood.
It causes tension.
Of course it does. I got you.
We all agree on that.
Sure. Well, Andrew, this has been one of the most entertaining NFL seasons I can ever remember. Every weekend there's something unbelievable. Why don't we have the call, but we want you to set up the miracle in Miami, if you would, for us.
So I'll set this up first as well. I was thinking about it this morning. I don't know that I remember a week as exciting as yesterday. That is, other than the week 17s when all the playoffs are on the line. But yesterday was just unbelievable. And the Dolphins usually have the Patriots number inexplicably in Miami. They've beaten them 4 out of 5. The Patriots, if they win this game, and they're set up to win this game because they have the Dolphins backed up on their own 31-yard line and they're up 5, this game is over and the Patriots are about to win their 10th consecutive AFC East title. All they have to do is prevent, with 5 seconds left, the Dolphins from going 69 yards. If the Dolphins do not score on a 69-yard touchdown, Rob Gronkowski's favorite number, then the Patriots win the AFC East.
Now explain the play that happened. Because the announcer that we have doesn't really explain specifically what happens on the play.
Okay, so they call it Boise. It's a homage to what Boise pulled against Oklahoma in the 2007 Fiesta Bowl. It's just your standard hook and ladder, which the Dolphins made famous back in the 70s. It's you throw it to one guy, he pitches it to another guy who, it's perfectly orchestrated. The other guy is right there. But then after that guy gets it, then there's another pitch, which usually you don't have to do. It's just any and every, I've watched the play 50 times, any and everything that possibly needed to go right for the Dolphins went right, including Rob Gronkowski on the field defensively for the Patriots, who, as was pointed out last night by Scott Van Pelt, just now runs like Frankenstein.
And all so much better that it was literally the last play of the game.
Correct.
The clock was run out, and then this happened.
Tannehill will throw it, and this will end it after the shovel, or will it? Miami running around, circling, and look out! Gronkowski didn't have the angle! Touchdown! Oh, Kenyon Drake! A miracle!
I like that announcer is like, and this'll end it.
This'll end it.
Or will it?
That's Ian Eagle. Ian Eagle, who's amazing on CBS. If you listen to the Patriots call, there is...
Oh, I'd love to hear that.
When he gets to around the 20... where the color guy, I think, says Jesus when he realizes that Gronk doesn't have the ankle. So Gronk's in there because I think it's going to be a Hail Mary.
Right.
In other words, the quarterback's going to throw it and try to get it all the way down the field, and Frankenstein can jump up and knock it down.
Correct.
But Frankenstein isn't good to try to backpedal and cut off angles and get a guy if he's the last line of defense. So the Patriots color guy says Jesus. The other guy yells touchdown, actually hits the right notes, and then they just go silent for 3 minutes. They just don't talk.
Which is awesome.
There is a headline in the Boston Globe this morning written by Dan Chauncey. That's right, the headline. But the headline is this the worst non-playoff loss in Boston sports history?
I love the next line.
That's a tough one.
I dare you to come up with anything more hideous and ghoulish. Nobody hates Boston sports more than Boston sports writers. It's insane.
But I'll come back with, do you overreact much? For Pete's sake, they are going to win the division for the 10th consecutive season.
Yes.
10.
Yeah. Is there anything more hideous and ghoulish?
They've lost 5 of 6
in
Miami. So they often lose in Miami. Give it a break.
It was amazing.
Get over it.
We're talking to Andrew Siciliano from the Red Zone on DirecTV and the NFL Network's Up to the Minute. All right, now let's that was fun. Now let's talk about the Rams. I know that people are saying, you know, the Saints had this same kind of meltdown against the Cowboys on Thanksgiving night. Every great team has a terrible week, and this was the Rams.
Well, I would give the Bears as I gave the Cowboys credit for an amazing defensive performance. What the Bears did was as good a defensive performance as you have seen the entire season. One team against another team on any given night, and whether it was the cold, I don't blame the cold, but the Rams certainly didn't want to hold on to the football very well, or whether it's just the Bears defense, or whether it's just a combination of factors, but the Rams certainly didn't look good last week in Detroit. They one, they're the better team, right? They won the division. Whether it was division hangover, championship hangover, back-to-back trips to the East Coast, if you want to call, well, let's call it the Midwest.
Sure.
Regardless, look, the Bears won, and they were by far the better team. Here's what it means for the Bears. They're locked into the 3 seed regardless, it looks like. They're going to win the division. Unfortunately, what it means for the Rams is that they are now back behind the Saints. The Saints jumped the Bears again because they have the head-to-head. So right now, if the playoffs were to end today, here's a hint, they don't. The Saints would be the number 1 seed. The Rams would be the number 2 seed. And if those two were to meet again in the NFC Championship game, it would be in New Orleans.
Mm.
That is a big deal.
Yeah.
There are still 3 games left.
Okay.
And the Rams get the Eagles this week. They need to keep winning, and it would be nice to see the Saints lose a game.
Yes, it would.
Okay. I have a question about the Monday night game I'm going to end with, but first, how about just a quick recap of the Chargers? Not their best performance yesterday, good enough to win, but how are you feeling about them, Andrew?
They won 10 games. That's spectacular. They're heading to the playoffs. They are not going to win the division. Kansas City would have to have... Well, look, they actually, you know what? Let's take that back. If the Chargers could somehow beat the Chiefs in Kansas City on Thursday, that game, that's a marquee game Thursday.
Right.
Then maybe we'll talk differently. But if the Chiefs win this, the Chiefs win the division and lock up no worse than the 2 seed on Thursday night. The cynic would say that game was far too close for comfort yesterday,
right,
that you allowed Jeff Driscoll, of all people, who played well, the backup quarterback for the Bengals, to make it interesting. But, hey, let's take the positives. They won 10 games. They look like a legitimate deep into the playoffs team, and they have found a kicker. Bless the gods.
Speaking of deep into the playoffs, the Raiders won. Am I right?
So we can all agree that the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum, or whatever it's called right now, is a dump.
Yeah.
Okay? There's no one that disagrees.
Okay.
It is a dump. And yesterday, the dump helped the Raiders win the game. Because Chris Boswell tripped and fell, or slipped and fell, on what could have been a game-tying field goal. Oh, another miraculous comeback there by Ben Roethlisberger, like Lazarus just rising from the dead. But the turf helped them win.
Okay.
He slipped, the kick got blocked, or he kicked it into someone's backside, so the dump helped them win.
All right,
last question, Andrew, then we got to say goodbye, and that is, I have trouble keeping track of all the various scenarios. My team, the Seattle Seahawks, are on the bubble looking for that wild card, along with the Vikings. They play they play each other tonight. If the Seahawks win tonight, are they in the playoffs, or do they still need some good luck the rest of the
way? They do not have a scenario to clinch this evening. However, a win tonight would be huge for them, and it would be bad for the Vikings. And by the way, Dean, you always ask how many kicks get missed. I counted. Uh-huh. There were 20 this week.
Wow.
Wow.
Yes.
Kevin, you got to switch careers, dude.
I could kick a field
second
goal.
Most this year.
That's unbelievable.
22-5.
Yep.
22-5. Yep. So you can hope for 2 more tonight, of course, for the Vikings.
Of course.
You can have a lot more to talk about on the NFL Network's Up to the Minute later today. What time is that on these days? It's 10 a.m., right?
That would be 10 a.m. tomorrow.
Bean, I think they move it around all week.
I know. They do like to make it hard to find.
It's very
hard.
And DirecTV's Red Zone channel every Sunday. Thank you, Andrew. We appreciate the time, as always, sir.
Love you guys. Merry New Year.
Take care.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show. Wanted to make sure because there were still 6 seconds on the timer. So I was like, as he comes back and says, it's the new song from AFI, which I interviewed AFI and called it Get Darker. It's actually just Get Dark.
Get Dark.
Yeah, but when you said, I'm here with Dream Car, I was like, Kevin.
Yeah, that was rude.
That was a mistake.
That was rude.
They were delightful, by the way.
They were. They always are.
And they're so good.
Always.
They're so good live. Yeah.
And Davey Haddock.
Havoc?
Did I just say Haddock?
You
like
did.
Fish? Wow, we're on a roll today. Davey wound up styling my Mrs. Claus hood.
Yeah. It was sort of a mess before he
got a hold of it. It was a complete mess.
Okay.
And then he totally styled it. And then at the end of it said, now remember, you can't move.
Right, okay, and that wasn't helpful.
That's not great. I love him.
And then he said you shouldn't talk anymore either, which I thought was
interesting. That was you.
Got you an Uber to go home.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So odd.
A real turn.
Who were your favorite of the performances over the weekend? I know there were a lot of great ones. People were blown away. Even those who had seen the Smashing Pumpkins multiple times were blown away how great they were with their headlining set.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I loved The Interrupters so much.
Same.
Yes.
They
were
one of my very favorites of the whole.
We're going to talk about them in a second, yes.
Yes.
Who else did you guys adore?
I like Bastille. I wouldn't call myself a total fan, really, but they...
You're not a Bastille head?
Well, no, not a Bastille head, but now I kind of am, at
least
I've seen
them. I think this is the fifth time, and this is the best time by far that they've been.
Yeah. They're really
energetic. Churches was incredible.
Yeah. Billie Eilish was great.
Yes.
Yes. I was surprised by both Churches and Billie Eilish that they are both so animated and energetic on stage for the style of music I think of them as doing.
Agreed. Same.
You don't expect to see Billie Eilish pogoing during some of her sad songs.
No, no, no. Third Eye Blind.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys saw, but I was skipping around backstage during Semi Charm Life.
Jensen said to me, they're doing a 10-minute version of Semi Charm Life.
He did.
I mean, listen, I'm surprised they don't do it twice in a row. To be honest, but 10 minutes is fine with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was super fun. I mean, everyone brought their A game, I thought. Mm-hmm.
How many years have we done this show?
Well, that was something we...
28, 29? Well,
you say
I
that
think
with,
it was 1990 was the first year. So I think this would be 29.
Well, you say that with a confidence.
This would be 28.
Yeah. Kevin's saying that with a confidence.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I said... 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. We're backstage at the 12th, at the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic.
Is it the 12th?
It's the 12th. It's the 12th one. Did you guys know that?
We are broadcast professionals.
You can watch all of the bands.
Why did I say it's the 12th?
No idea.
Like, what in my head would have said 12?
I don't know.
No
Maybe
idea.
Maybe you're thinking like 12 Days of Christmas.
It's impossible to tell what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Because it's not like I missed it by, it's the 27th?
No.
Or 26th?
Mm-mm.
I said it's the 12th.
Sure.
We did a game last week.
Oh, dear.
Where we had to sing. It was Kevin and Bina Roki. Was it Friday?
Mm-hmm. It was Friday.
Mm-hmm. And the Interrupters were listening.
Yeah.
The band was listening. While I completely destroyed their song. Here's the moment with...
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
It started out like any other morning. The sky was red and it took a warning. She had the... Hold on, let me take that part again.
You're reading it.
She had the now and the beers are swarming.
What?
Bees, not beers.
She had the hive, now the beer...
Yes, hit the hive.
She hit the hive and...
I didn't even hear what night this was.
It's night one. Oh, good God.
Should I start over?
Yes.
It's night one.
Oh,
the joy.
So then Allie told me, hey, by the way, I don't know if you saw, but the Interrupters were listening to that version of their song.
They were also on the live feed.
On the radio and on the Instagram Live. Yeah. Yes.
And they wound up posting it to their stories and said, so excited to play acoustic Christmas. Thanks, Kevin.
See, here's the thing. Usually you can get away with stuff like that and they don't happen to be listening at the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And maybe somebody points it out later, but they never get back. They were listening at the time.
Yeah, I wound up running into the... Well, we saw them. We introduced them. On stage, and right before that thing was turning around the stage, they were like, what happened? What was that? And I was like, this is amazing. But I wound up catching up with them later on in the evening, and I'm a journalist, is what I do.
I'm sorry?
I wanted to get to the bottom of when they first heard Kevin and Bina Roki.
Mm. Here with the Interrupters, of course, just killed it at Acoustic Christmas, but you heard something that probably killed all of you yesterday.
You know what, though? It warmed our hearts. It really did.
Okay, so it was Kevin and Bina Roki, where we all sing lines from a song, and the listener has to say what song it was.
Yeah. You call that singing?
Well, no. So who is the one that originally heard Kevin sing?
So we sat down to breakfast, and I put my phone on the table. I was like, oh, Kevin and Bina are live. And I click on the live video, and he's going through the lyrics. And we're like, wait, what is this? And he's like, sky's red, took it as a warning, kick the hive. And And we're like,
beers are swarming.
Like, that's our song. That's our song. And there's heavy laughter, and we have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, the laughter is the best part.
Yeah.
Infectious. The fact that our song could bring so much joy that early in the morning, I mean, that means everything.
Yeah. I will say this about Kevin. He was fresh off of having an IV the day before. He was in a complete fog. So trying to glance down at the lyrics, hence... beers instead of
the beers are swarming. Beers are swarming. I think that might be a better lyric.
And we may add that into the song now. It's just brilliant. Beers are swarming.
Well, we hope you enjoyed it as much as we did.
You guys
just killed acoustic.
Thank you.
How nice are they?
The nicest.
But here it gets even better because they wound up saying, then we were driving somewhere later on in the morning after they had breakfast and saw it live on Instagram. And they're like, then at the end, it was played again,
we
like
played
a moment with.
Yeah.
And I was like, you guys need to stop listening as much as you do. But it's amazing. So they're like, twice in one day, Kevin murdered our song.
And just before they went on, I hugged Amy and I said, I'm really sorry. I'm the one that ruined your song. She's like, I loved it.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of how great the Interrupters were, how about when they brought out Santa Claus to sing Time Bomb?
Oh, that was Tim Armstrong.
Really? Oh, no. That was the guy with the big, huge, bushy beard. I'm pretty sure
it's Tim Armstrong. Yeah.
But amazing show, and thanks again to everybody who bought tickets and came down and supported some tremendous local charities, and we'll do it again next year.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock, KROQ.
Anyone peeked out into the hall? Are we still the only K-Rock employees in the building today?
I believe so, yeah.
Pretty sure. Yeah.
It's pretty quiet around here after Acoustic Christmas, but thanks again to everybody who came to the shows this weekend at the Forum, raised a bunch of money for charity, and thanks to all the great K-Rock artists who really, I mean, everybody was so good this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd also like to say this. A lot of people came up to us and said, hey, thank you for putting on such a great show. We have a music department. We have a promotions department. We have a programming department. Those guys all do all the work.
Yeah, so, we do almost nothing.
We take credit for it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it's not us, technically.
And I'm I did book Third Eye Blind for the show.
Correct.
Thank you, Jensen.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well done, Jensen.
Thank you.
All right, we got time for one final look at what's happening here on this Monday. Here's Ellie.
We've discussed, maybe don't get a tattoo of somebody else's name, especially, you just start dating, even if you're married.
I thought the rule was you do.
I don't think that's the rule.
You don't.
We've also talked about Ariana Grande. Maybe, don't.
She did kind of rush into that with her boyfriend.
Yeah, her and Pete Davidson wound up getting each other's name. They did all sorts of stuff.
I got a pig.
Oh, dear.
They did get a pig, yeah.
And then they fixed them, so now it's not those names, everything. But she did just get more tattoos. After the Billboard Woman of the Year Awards on Thursday night, Ariana celebrated by getting a new tattoo.
How does she have room?
With her 93-year-old grandmother. They went to get
tattoos
together, but her grandma got one.
No, I thought you meant she got a face tattoo of her grandmother, which would have been awesome.
Here's Nona right here. Well, her grandmother wound up getting a tattoo on her left ring finger.
Oh, I wish it was a tramp stamp.
Her late husband, Frank Grande's nickname. So her grandmother, at the age of 93, got a tattoo, which I just think is adorable. And then Ariana got a crescent moon beside some stars on the top of her left hand to commemorate the big night. So... I just like the idea of hitting the town with your nana, getting tattoos.
Sure, odd, but I like it.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Allie, have you ever considered getting a tattoo?
I have. Many times.
What was it going to be?
Strangely, and this will be so insane, knowing my recent history with birds, I have always been really drawn to the starling bird. And I thought about getting like 3 or 4 of them, because if you've ever seen starlings in murmurations when they do...
Can I interrupt you for just one second? Bean, are you sorry that you asked this question?
No, I'm interested.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm getting this story tattooed on the side of my ribs.
Oh, it's going to be long. It's going to go all the way down to your feet.
But, I'm buying the movie rights. I know that.
I hate all of you. So that's a tattoo I would get. Like 3 or 4 of them, kind of going up a wrist, or I thought about behind, like the neck up to the ear.
That would be cute.
Anything on the face? Yeah. Any face tattoo?
Just always tired, but then Post Malone took
he beat
that.
You to it.
And I was like, damn it.
Too bad.
Yeah.
Always awake, I have. It's a morning radio tattoo.
So sad. What about you, Bean?
Obviously, Weird Al. It's crossed my mind.
Sure.
But, you know, there are so many thousands and thousands of people that have Weird Al tattoos.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I almost feel like there are fewer Weird Al fans without tattoos at this point. So I don't know. I don't think I've ever gotten to the point where I've like booked it or anything, but I certainly have thought about it because, you know, you want something that you're going to love forever. Mm-hmm. That you're going to be relatively sure that it's going to be safe. I feel like Alf. I feel like Al is
an Alf tattoo.
Kevin, go.
Bean, you better get an Alf tattoo now.
I feel like Al is the safest celebrity in the world to put my faith in. It's not going to be an O.J. Simpson situation. You know, I just don't think that's going to happen with
I agree.
Do you think that an Alf tattoo would be a problem?
I'm not getting an Alf tattoo, no.
No problem.
Thank you.
So Weird Al is the closest I've come.
Okay.
What era Al would you get? There's many eras.
Yeah.
You know, I think I'm like a lot of people. I'm old school Al. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like him with the I think
glasses,
Al with glasses.
And the tight curls. Yeah. Yeah.
Stay on target. Yeah. Stay on target.
Sorry. And my Al wears a Hawaiian shirt in Vans.
What?
That's the Al I did.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Good times. Kevin, I haven't done a Meghan Markle update in quite a while.
Oh, please do, because I'm dying to know what's going on with the royal family.
Meghan Markle is set to lose a key member of her Kensington Palace staff for the second time since her wedding. You guys.
Is this is this a royal baby update?
Well, no. No. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Royal baby.
Okay, good.
It's whatever you needed to be to play that.
Well, it kind of is. The pair's private secretary, Samantha Cohen, has let it be known that she intends to leave after Meghan's baby is born. So I guess it is a royal baby update.
Right. Okay.
Her exit comes less than a month after it was revealed that Meghan's personal assistant quit after 6 months on the job. And now reports are swirling that she has frosty relationships and has difficult behavior issues that have surfaced.
Mm. Oh, no.
In the royal family?
One insider said Meghan starts her day at 5 a.m. and messages staffers with ideas and requests 6 or 7 times a day. I believe that's what you do with a personal assistant. That's
that's the definition of.
Sound that unbearable, actually.
Why
does my boss keep asking me to do so much work?
Exactly.
Over and over.
It sounds pretty weird to me. But who am I? I don't know.
A commoner.
I am a commoner. Ew. Mm-hmm. Well, so was she up until
She was a deal or no deal girl.
Yes, right? She had a briefcase. Come on.
She did have a briefcase. We were ready to say it, but I like it.
It's true. Some birthdays for you. Raven Simone. Meg White. No?
Nope. Just keep going.
Kenneth Branagh.
Thank you.
That's what's happening.
Thank you, Ali. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with a commercial-free drive home today at 5 p.m. on K-Rock. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. You know how Bean lied to you and said that Travis Barker was going to be here today?
Yeah.
Travis is going to be here. Travis is going to be here. And Bean's like, oh, yeah, Travis is going to be here at 9 o'clock.
He was driving
tomorrow.
Here and hit a roadblock.
Oh,
he turned around.
Such a big liar.
Right?
He'll try again tomorrow.
Travis Barker tomorrow, which is what we should have been saying all along, but Bean is a liar.
He hit a roadblock, Bean said.
Right?
You liar!
Rhett Reese, Paul Wernick, who wrote Deadpool and now Once Upon a Deadpool, will be joining us in studio, and a fellow by the name of Will Ferrell.
What?
Tomorrow.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.